while you're still standing, find 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 is going to be our text tonight. I'm thankful for the promises of God. Amen. They are exceedingly great, and they are precious. And the Lord has given them to us. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, let's read. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about precious faith and promises. And after the news broke today about Charlie Kirk being shot and then later him dying, I prayed about that and thought maybe I need to say something else. A tragic school bus turning over, another school shooting today, the stabbing that happened on the rail system. You just, story after story after story, tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, horrific scene after horrific scene. And I just want to caution you, just as a side note, when I asked how many of you had social media, almost every hand went up, and a lot of young people in the room, listen, they put stuff on social media they would never put on television. Need to be careful. Because I want to tell you, listen, there's things that you're going to see on social media that you can't unsee. So be careful. Last week, we started kind of a quick review of this study we've done of the life of Peter, and we really tried to do an overview of the letter, and really it breaks down to this. Peter's writing, he knows that his time is at his end. He knows he's going to die, and the Lord revealed that to him. He knew that time was coming to the end. So you're talking about a Christian man who has lived the faith, but he knows death is imminent. He knows that he's going to be dying, and I don't know how you feel about that, whether you want to know when you're going to die or you don't want to know. Personally, I'm just happy to not know. I'm certainly happy to not know whether I'm going to be martyred for the faith or not. But the Lord told Peter that he was going to be martyred, that he would be murdered for his faith. And there's a couple of things about that. On the one hand, Peter was probably glad to know that he was going to be faithful to the end. The Lord pretty well told him that. Amen. That's exciting. Amen. On the other hand, he's going to be martyred for his faith. He knows that he's going to be killed for standing up for Jesus. And so praying about whether to go ahead with this message or not, it just seems perfect and like the Lord ordained it and worked it out. And right on time, as always. Peter knew he was at the end of his race, near the end of his race, and he wants believers to be sure of their salvation. He wants them to be careful against corruption. He wants them to be ready for Christ's glorification. So he begins this letter with some of the most encouraging words that you'll read anywhere in the Scriptures, reminding the saints of their precious faith and precious promises they've received from the Lord Jesus. So number one tonight, as we look at verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say, first of all, we need to humbly serve the Lord Christ, and we need to live out our calling in Christ. Listen, he says, I'm a servant and an apostle. A servant is the Greek word doulos. It's a bondservant. We would use the word slave probably, or house slave. And when Peter talks about himself, the first thing he wants you to know about him is that I am a slave to my King Jesus. I belong to Jesus, and I live to serve Jesus. And we live in a world today where nobody wants to serve anybody. Nobody wants to bow down to anybody. Nobody wants to be put under anybody. Nobody wants to be in subjection to anybody else. And friends, that's exactly what the Lord calls all of us to do. Amen. To be in subjection one to another. To submit ourselves one to another. But especially to bow down to King Jesus and live our lives in service to him. Amen. I am his servant. And whatever I do in this life, I want to do to serve him. Paul was the same way. In Romans 1:1, Paul said, a servant, a doulos, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Charles Spurgeon said, it is our highest honor to be the servants of Christ. If this be servitude, then, O Lord, bind me forever to thy service. It is the greatest and highest honor to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who not only died for you and rose again, but the one who created all things, the one who has all things in his power, the one who by the word of his power causes everything to continue and holds it all together. By him all things consist. That's the one we serve, the servant of the Lord Jesus. We need to humble ourselves before him, and then we need to live out our calling. Now, he was an apostle. Now, don't be confused tonight. You're not an apostle. Don't be confused when you drive through town and you see the apostolic church. They're not apostles either. I don't care what they put on their podcast or on their website or on their vlog or their blog or whatever. They're not an apostle of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about an office that was held only by those who were eyewitnesses to the Lord Jesus. We too, but get this, Peter knew his calling. He knew who he was in Christ. And can I just remind you tonight, you need to remember, you need to know, you need to live out who you are in Christ. Amen. Even if I'm not an apostle, that doesn't mean that I can't serve Jesus. You might say, well, I'm just a church member. You know what that means? That means you're in Christ, you're a child of the living King, that you belong to him, that you're part of his body. Amen. That's no small thing. To be in Christ, to be in the church, to be part of his kingdom and his body, you're a servant of the Lord. Amen. And we got to know our calling, and we need to make our calling and election sure. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that I make it so. It means that I'm living it out. I'm proving it by the way that I live. I'm serving him. And that might be as a husband and a father. It might be as a wife and a mother. It might be as a child. It might be as an employee. It might be as an employer. Whatever your role is on planet Earth, you need to figure out that you belong to Jesus. Amen. And you need to live out your life for his glory. Amen. Live for the one who died for us and rose again. So humble yourself. Humbly serve and live out your calling in Christ. Next, number two, receive the precious faith of Christ and know you have it. Receive the precious faith of Christ and know you have it. He says, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you guys look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Now, I know most of you know these verses by heart, and I would ask somebody to say them right now, but you'd be like me and you'd forget them in the middle of knowing them, right? So we'll just cheat and put them on the screen, or you can open your Bibles. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So are we saved by works? Are we saved by faith? Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We are saved by faith, not by works. But where does the faith come from? It's a gift of God. Right. Tried to study this pretty deeply a while back. What is the gift of God? Because when you see something, you need to know what it's talking about. What is the gift of God? What's he referring to there? Well, is he referring to grace? Yes. Is he referring to faith? Yes. Is he referring to salvation? Yes. Amen. Now, I was convinced for a while it was one or the other or the other. And now I'm fully persuaded that it's all of those things. They're all the gift Amen. Of God. Amen. They're all the gift of God. And even the faith that you have to give back to him, you have obtained like precious faith. This word obtained is a really interesting word. The root of it has to do with casting lots. Some people in the world would look at that as chance, but when people casted lots in the Old Testament, God was over that. Was he not? Amen. When they cast lots to figure out who was causing the trouble when Jonah was on the boat, how did it end up landing on Jonah? How did they figure out it was Jonah? God did that. Amen. Right? When they figured when they had sin after the victory at Jericho and they went to cast lots to figure out who had sinned against God, it ended up going all the way right down to the man.
Amen.
God was over that. And what I'm trying to tell you is if you have obtained salvation, if you have faith in Jesus, you didn't come up with that on your own. God was sovereign over that.
Amen.
God did that.
Amen.
God did that. It's only His grace that we're saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith.
Amen.
You've obtained like precious faith. Like precious is one word in the Greek. It's a compound word, and it's like or of the same kind, and it's precious or valuable. So what Peter's saying is you've gotten the faith like I have. You've gotten the faith like we had. You've gotten the faith that God gave us, and it's the same faith that we have and we all have together, and it's incredibly precious and valuable.
Amen.
Some metal's cheap, right? And some metal is very, very valuable, and the most valuable metal that there is, we call those precious metals.
Amen.
Why? Because they're incredibly valuable. So we use that kind of terminology today, and what he's saying is you've got the common faith, but it's an incredibly valuable faith. Our faith is the same, and it's not like this. You have one faith, and I have another faith, and somebody else has another faith. There is one faith that was once delivered to the saints.
Amen.
It's faith in Christ, who is the Son of the living God, Messiah, who laid down His life and took it up again, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Not, guys, listen, what I'm trying to say, it's not just any faith. It's the faith. There are a lot of people today who tell you if you just believe, you're going to be fine. Just have faith. Have faith in what? Have faith in yourself? Have faith in society? Have faith in science? No, have faith in God.
Amen.
That's the kind of faith we're talking about. It's what Romans 1 talks about. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes.
Amen.
That has faith. The gospel of Christ. Faith in Him, that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why? For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that verse is quoted so many times in the New Testament. I love it. The just shall live by faith. That means that you're made alive through faith.
Amen.
Right? How are you born again? By faith. You're made alive by faith, but then you live out that life by faith. It's both. And it's through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to help me. I don't know if you noticed this, but in this verse, it says that we've obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Romans chapter 3, normally we see righteousness received by faith, right? Isn't that the way it normally goes? We're made righteous by faith. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Normally we see righteousness as a result of faith. You believe and you receive the righteousness of God. Is that true? Philippians 3, 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is of God, by faith.
Amen.
To be righteous tonight, to have a right standing with God, to be justified in the eyes of the holy God, God Almighty, to see you as righteous, you have to have faith in Jesus.
Amen.
You receive that righteousness by faith. But here in our text, it's flipped around. Faith is received through righteousness. Precious faith that we have obtained through the righteousness of God. So why does it seem to be backwards? Romans 5 and verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
Amen.
What does that mean? The offensive one was Adam, the first man. And his offense, his sin, brought death and judgment to the whole world. The entire human race was cursed. But the second Adam, Jesus, came. And in his perfection, in his righteousness, he gives the free gift. Grace and faith are only possible through the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
And friends, he is beyond comprehension good.
Amen.
Matthew Henry says this: Christ's righteousness is the meritorious cause of all graces given to us. We owe our faith itself, as well as our justification, to the righteousness of our blessed Redeemer.
Amen.
In other words, it's his righteousness. It is the cause. It is the merit by which every good thing we have, including faith, is only because of his righteousness. Faith is not self-generated optimism. You just got to have faith.
Amen.
You just got to have faith, brother. Just got to have faith. And the world will say stuff like that. And very famous people will sit around a table on TV and talk about just believing. Just believe. Just believe. Just have faith. But the object of their faith is nothing. Just something they've imagined in their mind. And listen, some of that nonsense has bled over into the church. And there are Christians today who believe that if they can just imagine it in their head, that they can make it reality. If they just say it, that they can create it. They have faith in their own imaginations. They have faith in their own words instead of the Word of God.
Amen.
And I just want to tell you tonight, friend, have faith, but have faith in God.
Right.
Have faith, but have faith that comes from God.
Amen.
Have faith, not in yourself, but in our Savior. The faith we're talking about tonight is blood-bought. Purchased by the blood of our Savior and freely given to all who believe. And it comes about by his righteousness. And it's the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. I want you to notice at the end of verse 1, it says, God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, it says, the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. There's a cool thing in the Greek when two nouns of the same case are connected by the word and the first has the article O with it, the second does not, they both refer to the same person. What does that mean? It means this. In verse 1, when it says God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, it's calling Jesus God. Okay? So in verse 1, Peter is, just in the language that he uses, saying that Jesus is both God and Savior. Everybody with me? We can all amen that, right?
Amen.
But in verse 2, he separates them and he says the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And in verse 2, he separates Jesus from God, and he's talking about God the Father and Jesus separately.
Amen.
You know what he's doing? He's proving the Trinity right here. He's proving the deity of Jesus. He's saying that Jesus Christ is both God and he's distinct from God.
Amen.
Well, that seems like a contradiction. No, it's just beyond our comprehension. Jesus is God and he's also distinct from God. And Peter it's just right there in the text. Very simply, he clearly declares Jesus both to be God and at the same time to be distinct from God. And so this precious faith that we have comes from our Savior Jesus Christ. And then he implores us to grow in knowledge. When we grow in knowledge, we multiply blessings. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So as we get to know God and we get to know Jesus, then grace and peace are going to be multiplied in our lives. Okay. This word multiplied has the idea of increase. Can I see your hands if you've ever tried to raise a garden or any kind of fruit or, you know, veggies, anything like that? Hey, how many of you have, like, had that go really, really well for you? Can I see your hands? I can't put mine up. How many of you have had it not go so well for you? Okay. All right. Yeah, you've had both. God bless you. Praise the Lord. If you want your plants to die, see me. I don't know how, but I can kill them. When we take a seed and we plant it, it's the coolest thing in the world to me that you can take a tiny little seed and it'll grow up and it'll make these amazing plants and they'll bear fruit like tomatoes. Are there any tomato lovers in here? Okay, God bless you. I love tomatoes of every size and shape and even color. I know that's weird, but they come out with these little medley ones and they're like different colors, but they're delicious. You guys know what I'm talking about? What are they called? Constellations? Is that what they call those? Anyway, they're so good. You can take a tiny little tomato seed and you grow a whole plant and it'll grow a whole bunch of tomatoes with a whole bunch more seeds in it. You know what that is? That's the biblical word we have here for multiplied. It's sometimes translated increase, but the idea is exponential multiplication. It's exponential increase. That means that God's not just going to give you a little bit of grace and a little bit of peace. But the more you know him and the more you know Jesus, he's going to multiply those things in your life. Amen. Okay, I'm not sure you guys are with me. How many of you guys are like, you want grace? Amen. Amen. Okay, with all the love in my heart, if you don't want grace, what is wrong with you? Because you don't want what you deserve. You want God to give you everything you don't deserve. Amen. And he says that he'll multiply grace to you. It'll be grace upon grace. Amen. That's how much he loves you. Amen. Our Savior delights in lavishing his grace on us when we seek him to know him. Amen. I think there's a principle in the Old Testament you can see all through that don't just seek the hand of God, seek the face of God. What do I mean by that? Well, when you seek the hand of God, that's just trying to get something. I just want you to give. There's a difference when you look up past his hand and you look into his face and you say, I don't want what you're going to give me. I want you. Amen. He told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And to know him is grace. Amen. He's going to lavish his grace on you when you seek him, when you strive to know him. And then he says, and peace. There is no peace in this world without Jesus. Amen. Do you know why senseless murders happen? It's because people have turned away from the love of God and faith in his son Jesus. They've despised him. They've turned away from him and they've given themselves over to wickedness and lasciviousness. They have opened up their hearts and minds to demonic influence. And if you have not seen demons at work this week, you have not been paying attention. Amen. But where Christ is, there is peace. Amen. Peace with God. Reconciliation to God. When you know God, when you know Jesus, then you know peace with God. You've been reconciled to God. Amen. And I don't know who needs to hear this tonight, but please pay attention. If you have put your faith in Jesus, you are reconciled to God. Amen. No matter how you feel, no matter whether you feel good or you feel connected or not, you are reconciled to God and nothing can ever change that. What does that mean? It means that I was an enemy of God. I was set apart from God. I was going away from God. I was a rebel against him. But when I put my faith in Jesus, he brought me to himself. Amen. And I am his. And he is mine. Amen. And nothing can ever change that. I'm reconciled with God. And not only does he give me peace with himself, but he gives me peace within. Amen. If your faith is in Jesus, friend, you can lay your head on your pillow tonight and you can rest.
Amen.
You can be like David. You can both lay yourself down and sleep.
Amen.
I will both lay me down and sleep because my rest is in Jesus.
Amen.
Peace with him. I can have peace in my heart. I don't know if you ever feel anxiety. I don't know if you ever feel fear or worry or just the absence of peace. But I'm telling you, if you will set your face to seek to know God and his son Jesus, he will wash that anxiety and fear away, and he will fill you up with his peace. And it's a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that's often most seen when a saint goes home to be with Jesus. A peace that can be experienced by the family of those who say, see you later to a loved one.
Amen.
And it's a peace that really the world can never understand. So grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. There's the word for knowing in the Bible is gnosis. Sometimes translated with different endings and stuff, but in this case it has a prefix epi, which means it's beyond, it's more, it's above. And so epinosis is a greater knowledge, and it means to have experiential knowledge.
Amen.
It's not just to know about him, but it's to know him through experience. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because you can come to church and you can go to a Sunday school class and you can learn about Jesus. But what I'm talking about is knowing him.
Amen.
Not hearing about him from somebody else or reading about him on the page, but I'm talking about knowing him.
Amen.
You guys know who Tim Tebow is? A couple of you do. When Tim Tebow had gotten out of college and gone to the pros, he had a lot of opposition. A lot of people didn't like him. And of course, I think largely because he was very open about his faith in Jesus. But I remember people really pushing back and lashing out against him, like if he really believed in him. And I remember him talking about Jesus, and it's you could see and hear it. You could see it in his eyes. You could hear it in his voice, a man who knows Jesus. It's like, I know him. I don't just know about, I know him. I believe him because I know him.
Amen.
Like I know somebody in my family, like I know him. In a different way than people can understand. Jesus says in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent.
Amen.
Our Savior's desire is for his believers to know him.
Amen.
So how does that happen? Well, you're going to have to rely on the power and promises of God if you want to know him. And we're going to get into that, Lord willing, next week. As we move into verses 3 and 4, he's going to lay out for us some very distinct things about the power and promises of God, his provision, the pathway, the purposes, the promises, the participation, the protection. And we'll get into that next time. I just want you to know this. You can know him.
Amen.
You can. And if you want to have grace and peace, you must know him.
Amen.
Let's stand together. We're going to pray as we close our service tonight. If the Lord's convicting your heart about anything, he is all you need. Cry out to him tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for Jesus who died for us and rose again. Thank you not only that we can know you, but that you want us to know you, that you've made yourself knowable, that you have revealed yourself to us through your word, and by the power of your spirit, we can know you. And I pray that if anyone here or watching online has never been born again, they don't know you, I pray that even now as we pray, in their heart they'll turn away from their sin and their unbelief, and they'll trust in you with all their heart, call on your name and be saved. Father, I pray that help each of us to walk with you, to live out the calling that you've given us in our lives. Thank you for the precious faith that you've given us through your amazing and wonderful goodness. Forgive our sins and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.